Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with Stowe Shoemaker, the former dean of the William F. Hara College of Hospitality at UNLV, on his tenure there and how he took the college to the next level. The UNLV William F. Hara College of Hospitality has been the foundation for many a casino executive in Nevada and around the world. When Stowe Shoemaker became dean of the college, its reputation had slid a bit, and Shoemaker wanted to turn it around. A graduate of the Hospitality College at Cornell University, one of the top schools in the country for that discipline, Shoemaker knew what worked and what didn't. He charted a course for the UNLV college that was different and unique. That included a new building that would reflect the excellent education that UNLV offers its hospitality and gaming students. Now an executive with the UNLV Foundation, Shoemaker met with me at his offices in Las Vegas in January. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Stowe Shoemaker, the former dean of the Hospitality College at UNLV, and he's also now he's working for the UNLV Foundation, which is a alumni group that raises funds for the college. So, Stowe, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Well, Roger, it's great being on the podcast, and really great to always see you and talk about gaming and hospitality.
Well, you know, I wasn't really very much aware of the Hospitality College before you were appointed. I think we met at Jeffrey Compton's dinner one night before G2E. But I was impressed with your vision for the college, and for 10 years you brought that vision to fruition, and you've done a great thing here, building the new building for the Hospitality College. So let's start off though with the background for people that don't know you know where you went to college, what you did earlier in your career. And what took you to UNLV?
Okay, well, thank you for that. You know, I've had a very eclectic career. I started really in the hospitality industry in Vermont, mm-hmm. New England, and then worked for about 8 years, decided to do a master's degree at University of Massachusetts, and then I took a job doing consumer research, moving to Southern California, where we actually took the chicken soft taco from product development to product launch.
Okay.
Did a lot of work with obviously Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, Marriott, really in consumer research. Mm-hmm. My boss at the time, we opened an office in Las Vegas. So I came to Vegas about 1986.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, this is a pretty nice place. And then in 1991, I decided I really needed a PhD. So I went back to Cornell University.
Okay.
And then when I was looking for a job, they called my office looking for my classmate.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, is Chris Inman around? And I said, I'm Chris. No, I didn't. But they asked me what I was doing, if I had a job for the spring, you know, for next fall. Mm-hmm. And I said, no. And they said, can you be in Las Vegas this weekend? And I looked out the window in Ithaca, and it was like 20 below and snow. And
right.
I said, absolutely. My wife came with me, and she says, I don't care what they pay you, take this job. And so we came to Vegas.
Okay. And you weren't dean then?
No, I just came as an assistant faculty member.
Okay.
And really, what really got me interested into the gaming, which I think was as an interesting story, is so because I had a lot of consumer research, sure. I understood how to make tacos, mm-hmm. or build, you know, products. I got doing some stuff in gaming, mm-hmm. and game design. And Sheldon Bybee, Shannon Bybee was, and Vince Eade were running the Gaming Institute.
Right.
And they took a group of graduate students down to meet Mr. Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and went as the part of the group, just because I wanted to hear what Mr. Wynn had to say. And when he got to me and he found out I went to Cornell, you know, he just started drilling me with all these questions,
right.
as Mr. Wynn would do. And he goes, I want you to train my executives. So we signed up like for 6 courses, mm-hmm. for executive education. And after the first one, I was basically fired. And I called a gentleman who worked for Mr. Wynn, and he goes, well, Stowe, you know, you're a bright guy, but you don't have any gaming stories.
Right.
And my people want to hear gaming stories. So one of my students, a woman named Kathleen Riley, was working at the Lady Luck.
Mm-hmm.
And this was when they were starting to build the Fremont Street Experience.
Right, right.
And she asked if I could do some consumer research.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically started doing tons of research for her
okay.
in gaming.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So Shannon Bybee was one of my mentors as well. I worked for him at the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City, and he was a great guy. And he was the one, of course, who started the IGI. And to see that you had that connection is interesting.
Yes.
And especially a connection with Steve Wynn, who used to sit at a dead baccarat game with us dealers and teach us anything about the industry. So once you got into the industry, were you really drawn to it? Were you really fascinated by it?
Incredibly fascinated mm-hmm. by it. I was obviously fascinated by really both sides. I was fascinated by the consumer psychology side of what would make people want to gamble, and how do we get them, and really not gamble, but make them have fun.
Right.
And how was gaming really tied to entertainment mm-hmm. was I found fascinating
sure.
with the consumer psychology background. But then I was always really curious about satisfaction. How do we keep people satisfied?
Right.
And so, basically I started doing any kind of research related to gaming, related to loyalty, related to customer satisfaction that I could. And I was able, as an academic, one of the things we have to do is publish.
Right.
So I would always say to companies, well, you want to know A, I want to know B, let me put together a study.
Yeah.
And instead of doing it as a consulting project, I did it as a grant,
okay.
which helped the university,
mm-hmm.
allowed me to get published and establish a name for myself. And that's really sort of was the start of my career in gaming.
Yeah, okay, great. So, and then you rose up the ladder in the academic side here. Was there a tipping point where they said, you got to be dean of the hospitality college?
Well, actually, what happened was, interestingly enough, I was here for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife, at 50, we'd been married 30 years at the time, said she wanted to do a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to move to Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Because she went to Texas A&M for mm-hmm. her doctorate. I was able to get a job at University of Houston.
Okay.
When she finished her PhD, we really wanted to come back to Vegas. So I came back as a full-time faculty member. Now, in the intervening years, I was on the executive education faculty mm-hmm. at Cornell University.
Okay.
And so I was really familiar with what was happening at Cornell. And I really saw that what was happening in hospitality was we were becoming business schools with hotel examples, restaurant mm-hmm. examples. And Cornell was moving in that direction, and now they've taken their whole hospitality program, merged into College of Business. But University of Denver, Michigan State,
mm-hmm.
even a co-hotelier in Lausanne now calls themselves the School of Hospitality Business. And when Don Snyder was getting ready to step down, I thought, this is an opportunity. Because one of the things, as faculty, we always like to talk.
Right, of course.
And so I said, well, I'm going to lay out my piece mm-hmm. as to where I think the college should go. And if they don't like it, at least I've said what I believe.
Right.
And I can, have a perfectly great academic career. So I laid out the belief is that we should really double down on hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
We should be a hospitality school that steals not only from business, but fine arts, engineering, and all the disciplines.
Sure.
To create a great experience. So I laid out this whole strategy. They obviously liked it, mm-hmm. and I became the dean.
Okay, great. So as I mentioned, I hadn't really, wasn't really aware of the hospitality college before you were appointed. Obviously, I knew they had a hospitality division mm-hmm. here, but it didn't really have a visibility that like it has now. And I credit you for doing that.
Thank you.
But you went to Cornell, which everybody knows is the top hospitality college in the country. So how much did you draw from Cornell? How they do their education up there and bring it to UNLV?
Well, actually, I really took the opposite. I said, what is Cornell doing, and how do we make sure we do the opposite?
Okay.
Because Cornell was becoming a business school.
Right.
They were really focusing on asset management,
mm-hmm.
real estate development. And most of the kids that went to Cornell weren't going into the hospitality industry.
Right.
They were going into the industry, but they were going onto the investment banking side.
Right.
And I said, at the end of the day, hospitality is a lifestyle.
Right.
And we need to get kids really exposed to the industry and what it means, because we can change. I always tell people that there's no business like hospitality and gaming, where it doesn't matter what your mom or dad did. If we give you a great education, we can change your life. You can travel anywhere. So as Cornell was moving more and more focusing on traditional business, I said, we have to go the exact opposite.
Right.
So, the fear was I was either building the Etzel or we were taking the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that luckily we were taking the lead.
Right.
So I really took the opposite approach.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense for sure. And So, and you're also were very good at fundraising, obviously, and that plays into the construction of the new hospitality building, tell us how that came about.
So when I became dean, thanks to Don Snyder, who was able to get, money from the state, the state. But more importantly, he basically got the state to say they would give $30 million if we could raise $30
million. Right.
But Don Snyder also was able to move Hospitality Hall away from where the IGI building is,
right. But
right to the center of campus.
Sure, right.
And essentially, the whole idea of people, in terms of fundraising, people give money to a vision.
Mm-hmm, right.
They give money for how is this going to help change lives.
Right.
The days of just sort of giving money and never asking
sure.
what happened to
right.
it, that's gone. So what we did as a faculty, and I credit our faculty for this, is we said, okay, if we're really going to double down on hospitality and we're going to steal from other industries, we really need to have a curriculum that does that.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a big event. We called it Hospitality 2025. We actually completed a lot earlier, and we basically.
And what year was this?
This was probably around 2015.
Okay, right.
And essentially, what we did is we brought all industry folks in, and we said, okay, as you look towards the future, what's the skill set you need? What are the skills, knowledge, mm-hmm. and dispositions? And then we worked with a consultant, and we redesigned our whole curriculum so that it takes 80 credits to get a hospitality degree. Well, we said, okay, we only need 50 credits, and then we'll have 30 credits of electives. So if you want to be an expert in gaming, now you can take 5 courses all related to more gaming or mm-hmm. meetings and events or food and beverage. And then, so now we have this curriculum, but the building had to be part of the curriculum. It had to be
right.
part of what hospitality
sure.
was. So we said, a lot of kids say, oh, I want to be in hospitality. I watched A Wedding Planner.
Right.
Sounds like so much fun.
Right.
And so I said, let's create an academic build. Let's create a hospitality space that doubles as a classroom, that is filled with people. There's a real vibe to it, so that if kids go, wow, I love being here.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I need to be.
Right.
And if they go, oh my God, there's just so many people and it's so crazy, then they know they shouldn't be in hospitality.
Right.
So when we presented the vision to the industry that said, we want to be the number one source for your employees,
mm-hmm.
because not only will they make an immediate impact on their first day of the job, but they have the skills, knowledge, and dispositions to rise up through the organization.
Right.
And I laid that all out, and mm-hmm. we had tremendous support.
Yeah, absolutely. And Don Snyder helped because he has all the industry connections, being the president of board gaming in a past life.
Don was very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, because I'd been at UNLV before, I had a lot of my own connections.
Mm-hmm.
But Don was obviously critical, especially with people like Mr. Boyd.
Sure.
But Dave Hanlon had a great relationship with the MGM folks.
Mm-hmm.
So he, took me there. And I had a lot of people really helping me.
Yeah.
And then for the non-gaming side, it was more just sharing the vision. I remember meeting with Mr. Marriott. I was in line in a play cafeteria with one of our alums.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, have you ever met Mr. Marriott? And I said, no. And he goes, he's right in front of us. So mm-hmm. Mr. Marriott said, oh, my grandson wants to come to UNLV. Do you think he can get in? And I said,
I think so.
I said, it depends on his scores.
Right. Yeah.
But so then I met with Mr. Marriott, and he gave us $2.5 million
mm-hmm.
to fund, the kitchen, Marriott kitchen.
Sure.
One of our alums that I've become a mentor in China, the Sun Development Group, gave me $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so just a lot of those kind of contacts really
right,
helped.
Right, yeah, no question about it.
And we paid off the building early, first time ever.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is such an impressive building. The lobby area, which is a high ceiling area, is beautiful with a coffee shop on one side and study area on the other. And it just seems comfortable. And I can imagine almost like an athlete who goes to a college because they have a great practice facility. Hospitality students must really feel at home when they walk into there.
They do. And that's the feeling we wanted to create. And we wanted to create this feeling of wow, I've come home.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key things in hospitality, of course, is you always judge a place by its restrooms.
Sure, right.
And so I fought forever about that we'd have great restrooms. And I was really flattered because when Mr. Murren came to look at the property, the first thing he said was, "I want to see the restrooms," and they just find it like a Four Seasons.
Sure, right.
And so it's created a really incredible impression for students.
Yeah, no question.
iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGamingPlayer offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGamingPlayer, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast.
So, obviously, this is Las Vegas, so there has to be a gaming connection. I mean, you go to Cornell, you don't really get a lot of gaming knowledge there, but obviously you have to here. So how did you make that transition?
Well, essentially what we did is we, so me personally, or, yeah.
Well, the school itself.
The school. Yeah. So really, Vince Eid started the International right. Gaming Institute, and then she brought Shen and Bybee in to run it. And I became, as I mentioned earlier, I did a fair amount of research in mm-hmm. gaming. But then once we changed our curriculum, and we had essentially 30 credits, which is 10 classes for electives,
right.
we really started to bring in a more of a concentration in gaming. Mm-hmm. And we hired industry folks
right.
who don't have a PhD, but have a lot of years of experience
right.
to come in and teach our gaming classes. Mm-hmm. And that was really exciting.
Sure.
And even during my deanship, Gary Waters had been a long time person in gaming. He really helped develop all our internships. Mm-hmm. So it was really a continuation.
Sure.
But then bringing in more folks to focus on the gaming side.
Right.
We brought in a faculty member who's now running the International Gaming Institute. Obviously, Bo was at the International Gaming
sure.
Institute. And so we really kind of brought in some gaming courses with internships and mm-hmm. things like that.
And I guess even the law school, Boyd Law School, probably entered into that.
Very much so. Yes, in fact, what we did is one of the things I did as dean was the International Gaming Institute was always part of the Hospitality College.
Right.
And I remember talking to the former dean of the law school, and he goes, "Well, we're going to start a center for gaming law." Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you should do something through the International Gaming Institute.
Right.
So I split the Gaming Institute out of the college mm-hmm. and made it a university institute, kind okay. of like a parent sends their kid out
sure, right.
to do their own thing.
Right. You can stand on your own feet now.
You can right. stand on your own feet. And that just opened the doors.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I'm really proud of as dean, one of my first decisions as dean was to really approve a course, along with faculty support, mm-hmm. to teach gaming, how to design a game.
Right.
So
sure.
Mark Yoseloff taught that first class, and basically kids could learn from it. How do I take an idea, mm-hmm. take it all the way to product launch?
Right.
And through that class at the International Gaming Institute, we've established like 20 patents.
Sure.
The first student whose game she developed as a freshman or whatever, she sold that, mm-hmm. the rights to that,
right.
which paid for a whole college.
Yeah, right.
And so that was really exciting. And then because the institute now was part of the university, people from engineering go, oh, I could take a class mm-hmm. or I don't have to be a hospitality student.
Right.
So it was really kind of thinking really strategically of how do we bring in all parts of the university to create great experiences and steal from everybody else
yeah.
and create a great understanding for our students.
Sure, sure. Well, I think the true testament to the success of the Hospitality College is that almost everybody I run into on the Las Vegas Strip, one of the executives, all have gone to UNLV either as a student or got a degree from UNLV.
Yeah, we're so fortunate. I mean, from Bill Hornbuckle, mm-hmm. Cindy Kaiser Murphy,
right.
Ann Hoff, Steve Zanella.
Right.
I mean, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody,
there's a lot. Cindy,
yeah, I mean, Colleen Birch is one of my students, CEO now of Fountain Blue,
right.
and Angie Dobney, also one of my students running revenue management and customer experience. So yeah, they're all in town,
sure.
and I credit that to really, our faculty, because really, as a student, and you probably remember your days as a student, if you liked a professor, then you like the topic.
Sure, right.
And if you like the professor and you like the topic, then you go, wow, this could be a career for me.
Right.
And our faculty did a great job of getting kids excited about hospitality, mm-hmm. getting them excited about gaming.
Sure.
And so they kids went out, and because of the education they received at UNLV, they had the skills, knowledge, and dispositions to rise up through the organization.
Right.
Okay. And I always said, you know, I mean, this is one of the things Cournot would say. And not any, not to mean to be disrespectful, they say, well, we train kids for the third job. And I was always like, well, if you can't do your first job, you'll never get the third job.
Right.
And so let's really double down.
Right.
And industry, the support we've had from industry, not just in terms of fundraising, but our mentorship program. Mm-hmm. Initially, when I first became dean, with Bobby Barnes. And you know, we have like 80 mentors
yeah.
who mentor our students. We are right now under Maggie Hasback. We have incredible, we have an internship, we're a 15-week internship with Resorts World
mm-hmm.
and with the Palms.
Yeah.
And they end up hiring our kids. So it's, I'm really proud of what we've been able to do in the hospitality school. We're now number one in the US, number two in the world behind the co-hotelier. But I think we'll be number one as they move towards the business school. And Cornell is like number 13 when
yeah.
you look at one of these rankings.
Yeah.
Because they've just moved away from hospitality.
Sure, sure. And that's, you know, again, I credit you for that, because you had that vision that that you saw Cornell was going in a different direction, and there was kind of a gap there. So you jumped in to fill it.
Yes, and it wasn't just Cornell. It's again, as I said, Michigan State. All these, really, when I was a kid thinking about hospitality schools, you thought of University of Denver, you thought about Michigan State.
Right.
And now they've just, they've become part of the business school. And I think certainly there's the business side of hospitality,
sure.
no question.
Right.
But there's also the entertainment side, there's
mm-hmm.
the experience side. And if you focus too much on the business side, you lose track of the customer.
Sure.
And if you're not taking care of the customer, you're not making revenue.
Right, and that's true. And that's especially true for Las Vegas.
That, absolutely.
That, you know, you've got the gaming side, which they make you know, good revenue for the company, but the other side of it, you know, the treating the customer, how to you know, show them that you appreciate their business.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really thanking them, and you know, you look at the, it's all about the creating a great experience, and that people go away and say, I went to Vegas, I had an amazing time, I'm going back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now you're working for the UNLV Foundation. What's your job entail now?
So I really have a great job. My new job is to really work with other deans around campus in terms of their priorities,
mm-hmm.
help them think about how do we do fundraising,
mm-hmm.
And think strategically about it to kind of help tell a story, essentially. I've worked on a couple initiatives with the provost
okay.
That he's been interested in. So really kind of focusing on those areas,
mm-hmm.
and just being a resource to folks in the foundation,
right.
that anything I can do to help, I do.
Mm. Okay, great. Well, so again, congratulations for all your success at the Hospitality College. It's been a real revelation for the city and for the industry to be able to count on the education that UNLV gives its hospitality students, and I hope it continues under the new dean, because you know, it's an important part of the UNLV and an important part for the industry.
And I have great confidence in the future. You know, we had a great committee that vetted a lot of candidates for the new dean. I was not involved in the search at all, but everyone I've talked to is really excited about his arrival. My wife and I had dinner with him. Seems like a very nice guy. And I think, you know, what's great about, I think what I tried to do at UNLV in my deanship is I wanted to make sure that I'd left so that there was a good structure in place,
mm-hmm.
and good faculty, so that the new dean could come in and do what he or she wanted, and not be constrained, right? And so luckily, you know, the new dean will have the resources, they'll have the flexibility in terms of hiring, you know, faculty.
Right.
He or she, he now has a curriculum that will allow him to say, okay, this is the area that I want to focus in
right.
on. And we have a great structure for him to be succeeding. In
right.
fact, when we had dinner with him, I told him, I said, this is the best job in the world, because typically what happens if you become a dean at an institution, usually, the strategy's been set, so
right.
you become a caretaker.
Right.
You know, I was able to reposition the college, and then with the help of the faculty,
mm-hmm.
to create this incredible opportunity for the next person.
Right, right.
And that's what I hope to do.
Great. Well, I hope he carries on your tradition and also brings his own stamp to it as well and has at least as much success as you had during your
I hope so, too, because we want, you know, at the end of the day, we're changing lives with our students.
And right.
That's the most important.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the time, Stowe, and good luck in your new job, and we'll stay in touch.
Yes, thank you very much, and I enjoyed being part of your show.
Great.
And I love your magazine.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by iGaming Player, the premier affiliated marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. To learn more about the topics we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.